The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
It is 10 to 11 and final guest of the day is Stuart Grimley, MP for Western Victoria for the Darren Hinch Justice Party. Stuart, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mitch. How you going?
Good. Thanks for being on the program. Lots happening in state politics at the moment. Just first of all, Daniel Andrews, he's back behind the desk as of yesterday. Just wondering what your thoughts are, and does it really change the dynamics of the government a lot?
Look, I don't think so. Yeah, it's good to see him back. Clearly, he's recovered from a pretty serious and nasty back injury, which, you know, you wouldn't want to wish on your worst enemy. So, yeah, it is pleasing to see him back, but I don't think it's changed anything, to be honest with you.
Business as usual continues. In terms of COVID, it's a really, really risky time, I suppose, for us here in Victoria. We've been through so many lockdowns, but you've got other states that are really doing it tough with new cases, and I suppose only one person needs to come back across the border and they risk being a super spreader. So, you know, we've been out of lockdown for a while now, even though there's still some restrictions, but there's no guarantee that we won't be straight back into lockdown even within a couple of weeks. And I believe you've now called for the government to really think carefully about whether or not they should lock down the whole state or just certain locations.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose the only thing that will stop a lockdown is that if we all get vaccinated. Once we're all vaccinated, we won't have to worry about all of these lockdowns. And fortunately, I've got my second one coming up in a couple of weeks. So, but having said that, look, yeah, you're right. If we have one or two cases or three cases, and that can quite often grow quite quickly, we're just calling on the government to consider managing that in a more nuanced way, I suppose, and that wherever your hotspots are, to lock down those certain hotspots and let the rest of Victoria continue on with their business, of course, still adhering to the masks and social distancing, which we're also very much used to. But the ramifications of shutting down the whole state when you haven't had any, you know, COVID there for, if ever, in some places, is just on the mental health, on the businesses. Yeah, the impact of that is just far outweighs any risk of getting the virus caught in those areas. So we're calling for that traffic light system. Lock down the hotspots and keep open the others.
It'll be fascinating to see how New South Wales plays out because they haven't locked down the entire state despite some concerning COVID numbers, whereas I think if the same thing happened here in Victoria, we would have locked down from Mildura to Mallacoota.
Yeah, and they have, in previous times, they have done the, you know, the certain parts of New South Wales has been locked down on its own. I think there were certain areas, similar to like Tasmania. Tasmania was the very first territory, I suppose, to lock down a particular area and keep the remaining, the rest of the state open, and they managed it very well. And that was right at the very beginning. So it can be done. It's just that, you know, just a case of doing it properly. So, look, you know, all my best to everybody, you know, within Australia right now, that we're seeing it just spread so rapidly throughout certain areas, and just hope that nobody gets seriously ill with it.
Moving right along, we were talking yesterday to Christine Cousins about this, the fact that some schools have to deal with abusive parents that come onto the school grounds, and the government's given schools a clearer framework and perhaps some new legislation on how to actually deal with that, and I believe you're supportive of those measures, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, I'm a previous school teacher myself, and been subject to verbal abuse and threats. Fortunately, I wasn't physically assaulted. I managed to defuse the situation before I got to that point. But I've heard of many stories where teachers have been physically assaulted by parents, and you know, this is one step closer, I suppose, to telling parents and families that schools are safe areas, and teachers and school staff are to be treated as such, and nobody deserves to go to any workplace and expects to get assaulted, doesn't matter what line of work you're in. So I think it's a great piece of legislation. We do sort of need to look also at children becoming increasingly violent towards teachers and how we can best manage that, because, you know, like I said, it's some dangerous times out there in some schools, and we need to do all we can to look after the teachers and the kids as well.
When it comes to abusive parents and other adults, is just banning them from the premises the best way to go in your view?
I suppose it needs to be, you know, carefully assessed. A straight out ban would depend on the type of incident that that person was involved with. That's why they've got, they have immediate school community safety orders, which can be put in place for 14 days. And then they could have ongoing school community orders, which, will just be those types of orders that will continue throughout the duration. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're hopeful that this could be some sort of deterrence, for parents in continuing their assaults on teachers, and also protects teachers and protects schools and protects the kids at schools, because they don't want to see any anger or fights or violence within the school grounds. It should be a safe place to go and learn.
And I suppose the point that you make about students exhibiting violence towards teachers, it's a tough one, because probably one of the worst things that could happen would be for that person to drop out of school and actually miss out on an education.
Yep, that's right. So kids need to be, put on plans, put in environments within classrooms that are best suited to their learning and behavioural needs. If there are kids put into classrooms which, you know, they're not particularly suited towards, then that can quite often not only disrupt their own education, but also disrupt the education of all the other students within that classroom. So it's one thing having, you know, challenging behavioural, students within a mainstream class. That is one thing, and it's important to have some sort of integration. But it has to be weighed up against the overall education of all children within that class. So you can't sort of have one in there and impacting upon the teachers and learnings of all the kids in the class. So it has to be very, very carefully managed and monitored. And it's not easy, but we need to be doing more, clearly, make sure all kids get the best chance at an education.
And just last of all, you've been looking at new initiatives to try and reduce recidivism around offenders who have alcohol and other drugs as a core component of their offending. And one of the things you're looking at is something called Scram Cam. What is that?
Yes, Scram is a secure, continuous remote alcohol monitoring system. So it's a bracelet that goes on your ankle, and it monitors your sweat every 30 minutes and sends the results through to a centralised monitoring area, and that determines whether or not you've had alcohol in your system. So the whole idea is to try to encourage the wearer of the bracelet to not drink, because what we're finding is that, particularly Victoria's recidivism is 44%, you know, so within 2 years, out of 10 people that leave prison, over four are returning, and we just think that more needs to be done in that space to reduce recidivism. And alcohol is a key component of offending, so this would be a discretionary program which could be put forward by the magistrate towards an offender, and also in consultation with the Victims of Crime or the prosecution to address the offender's alcohol abuse. And what we're finding in overseas models, that those participants that engage in this program have had incredible results, over 90% compliance. And not only is it addressing the primary cause of the offending, in these instances, drinking alcohol, and it could be like drink driving or those types of offences, but it's also reduced subsequently the rates of family violence, because the less less people drink, the less family violence is taking place. So it's another option. It's another tool in the toolkit for magistrates to consider. It's not the be-all and end-all and the answer to all the problems. And what we are just seeking at the end of the day is less victims of crime. That's the ultimate result that we want.
Well, Stuart, thanks for being on the program. Always good to talk to you, and we'll catch up again next month.
Good on you, Mitch. Take care.
Thank you very much. Stuart Grimley with us there, MP for Western Victoria, representing the Darren Hinch Justice Party.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.